Blog Talk Radio.
Last week, we traced the history of the African Methodist Episcopal Church from its origins in 1787 to how it expanded into the church of today. In light of the tragic events that shocked the nation when a gunman killed 9 people attending Bible study at Emmanuel AME Church in Charleston, South Carolina, the connections within the denomination are personally and deeply rooted for me. On today's show, I will go back and trace my AME roots that originate from the mid-1800s and share my American story so intertwined with our cultural past. From Georgia to Baltimore to the Midwest to the East Coast and around the United States, my family represents the essence of the AME Church. Faith, education, heritage, and family reunions are the core ingredients that make my family so special. I will also be joined by cousins Teresa Johnson and Keith Williams, who will share their knowledge on how our Gaines family reunion started back in the 1980s. The legacy of the Gaines, Charleston, and bachelor families is the legacy of family ties embedded in the AME Church. Hello, this is Carol Copeland Thomas, and you're listening to Focus on Empowerment. Hello, my friends. Thank you so much for listening to the show. This is quite special for me. I started off last week talking about the AME Church and its importance in light of recent events that took place at Emmanuel AME Church in Charleston, South Carolina. Just wanted to make the connection about how old this church is, how much of a legacy, and how much it really has been embedded in the communities around the United States and elsewhere. And then I didn't have enough time, so I this week want to just talk about my family and how my family sort of factors into the AME Church, as many families do. We think about the Kennedy family and how connected they are to the Catholic Church. Well, when you look at the African-American church and the African-American family, you'll see various denominations and how families have been the mainstay in terms of the growth and development. So that's where I want to really center my comments today about my family. This will mostly be my mother's side of the family. It's actually going to be mostly my mother's father's side of the family, but I think I'll start off with my mother's side of the family, because both were integral in the AME Church in the early 1900s. So that's where we want to focus our attention today. I hope you had a great 4th of July. I certainly had a great time being with young people who are now grown up and they have their own families. Had a time to have a cookout with them. And then the next day, just joyously seeing the U.S. soccer team, the women's U.S. soccer team, beat Japan in that great victory where they actually won that game in the first 15 minutes. It was amazing, really amazing. And they deserve equal pay. I mean, when you think about the fact that they've won 3 times, and in many cases, those women are making $14,000 and $15,000 a year. That's it. 40 times less than their male counterparts. That's going to be another show. We're going to talk about pay equity in women's sports and how we need to extend this whole concept of Title IX to include pay equity when it comes to athletes, particularly those who win 3 World Cups, as this great team has done. So I was very excited last Sunday when they won that game. Also, we are excited because as of last night, the wee hours of the morning, the House of Representatives for the South Carolina State Senate, that's the House of Representatives for the South Carolina State Legislature, decided to vote in favor of taking down the Confederate flag that is standing next to their Confederate soldier on the Capitol grounds in Columbia, South Carolina. That's a big victory. So we already know that the governor, Haley Barbour, is going, the governor is Nikki, I can't think of her last name right now, but the governor of South Carolina is going to sign that bill so that that flag will come down, will be put in an archival location where it should be, so that that state can move forward and not have that flag and the memory and the symbolism of that flag to really hold them back. One of the last bastions now is the state of Mississippi. Their state flag has the Confederate, the battle flag, embedded in their state flag. There's already discussion within their state legislature in terms of removing that and redesigning the flag, so we will keep you posted on that. And then clearly many of the stores, including Walmart and Sears, Amazon, et cetera, are no longer selling paraphernalia that includes the Confederate symbol, either on license plates or T-shirts, et cetera. Now, you can still buy it online. I'm sure that the stores that will continue to carry them will make lots of money. That's not the issue. The fact is that statements are now being made both in our governments, state governments, federal government, and now within Wall Street, within the stores, and business, the business community, saying that that flag and what it means really should not be in the kind of representation that it is in our society today. So that's a big victory, and it's all because of one man who thought he was going to start a race war, and he did the exact opposite. So when you look at the AME Church and you look at what has happened over the last couple of weeks, and many of you, this may be the first time you've heard of the AME Church, it's not a problem. I'm typically used to explaining what it is. You are looking at a body of people who go back, first of all, to the Revolutionary War, and I would encourage you to go and listen to the show last week. Also at my website, www.tellcarol.com, tellcarol, T-E-L-L-C-A-R-O-L-E, on today's blog, you'll have a chance to listen to a repeat of this show, and I have a couple of links, one to a newsletter that talks about my family, and also to a very interesting set of minutes that go back to 1865. I'll explain them in just a minute with one of my ancestors, who was part of the southern branch of what has become the AME Church. It's called the Methodist Episcopal Church, and how he met with General Sherman, along with another ministerial delegation in January of 1865. You can go back and actually read those minutes, who was there, what they discussed. They were talking about all the freed slaves and what to do with them, and you'll have a chance to get a sense of history that way as well. That is my relative, that branch of the Methodist Episcopal Church, which the black version, because the Methodist Episcopal Church also referred to white Methodist Episcopal churches around the East Coast, around all the states that represented the U.S., but the churches that were pretty much predominantly black, eventually many of them aligned themselves with the African Methodist Episcopal Church, of which I'm a part. So if I were to say legacy and history, I would just be talking about the importance of that church and the importance of my family. When I look at my roots, they probably go back to the mid-1800s, around that same time period, probably 10 years earlier, when my southern relatives, who were largely a part of the Methodist Episcopal Church, and William Gaines is the minister who was referenced in that set of minutes when they met with General Sherman. General Sherman, as you probably remember, went from Atlanta down to Savannah. He did not burn Savannah. He burned everything else in its trail between Atlanta and Savannah, but he did not burn the city of Savannah. But in its wake were thousands of freed slaves, including my ancestor. And the meeting was to discuss what to do with all of these freed slaves, land that needed possibly to be given to them, land that actually my family got in the Columbus, Georgia area. That's, again, part of my mother's father's side of the family that became a part of the AME Church. So the history is all intertwined with American history. You cannot separate black history, African American history, my history from the U.S., they are intertwined. So my thoughts are not only with Reverend William Gaines, who I've just referenced, but also who became Bishop Wesley John Gaines, who was born around 1840 in Georgia. He ultimately became a bishop in the AME Church. Again, these black churches in the South aligned themselves with the AME Church after the Civil War. That's why Emmanuel AME Church functioned on its own, was not officially connected to the AME Church until the Civil War ended, and then they became an AME Church. That's what happened in the South. So Bishop Gaines, my uncle, my ancestral uncle, was an early bishop in the church. He was one of the co-founders of a college in Atlanta, Morris Brown College. My grandmother graduated from there, and many other people have graduated. They've had tough times financially lately, but they're back in business and they're moving forward. But he was a bishop in the AME Church. He had a nephew some years later, Abraham Lincoln Gaines, who also became a bishop in the AME Church. That's the highest level that you can go in the AME Church. So when it comes to the leadership, those two ancestors are the anchors of my family when it comes to the church. Now, my family goes back to the 1700s. That's a whole nother show. And the July 24th show, I have a link on my blog. You can go back and find out more information about the Gaines family and how our roots have gotten started. And I'm actually going to play two radio clips from my cousins. I talked to them this morning. We had done this interview last year during our family reunion, but I'll just give you that connection in terms of the Gaines family. But my family goes back to that time period. Now, on the flip side, my mother's family, the Batchelor family and the Branch family, also come from Georgia and also have AME roots, and the roots go back in the AME Church as well. I'm not sure if it's as deep as my mother's father's side of the family, but certainly the roots go back. So I go back to the mid-1800s, and it just keeps going from there with lots of ministers, interesting, colorful stories about some of the ministers. The AME Church has politics in it, so there's politics involved. Right up to my grandfather, who pastored an AME Church in Detroit, Michigan, where I was born, and the church where he died, he actually built that building. So I've had ministers who have built churches as well. St. Paul AME Church, African Methodist Episcopal Church, is the church of my birth. I was born in that church. I was baptized, the first baby baptized in that church. And it's a very large building on the corner of Hunt and Change Streets on the east side of Detroit. And my grandfather was pastor there for many years and burned the mortgage, was quite a businessman, and literally died in the pulpit in June of 1961. I remember that because I was at church that Sunday, and that was quite a shattering time for us. But he left a legacy, and he had come from this AME family, the Gaines family that I just referenced to you. Education, extremely important in our family, extremely tied in with the AME Church. And as I've mentioned, my grandmother is a graduate of Morris Brown College. There are other friends. I have friends who have graduated from Morris Brown. And so education goes hand in hand with the achievement levels, with overcoming all the discrimination that they had to face. It's just very, very important. I was actually married to an AME minister, so I'm actually in Boston because he was transferred here and pastored Charles Street African Methodist Episcopal Church for many years. We've been divorced for well over 20 years, 24, 25 years or so at this point, but I'm still very much a part of the AME Church, as he is also, back in the Midwest. But I now am a member of Bethel African Methodist Episcopal Church, a sister church here in the Boston area. There are seven churches in greater Boston that are all AME churches, and we all work together and collaborate and have meetings. There's a big missionary meeting called the Quadrennial that's going to start next week with the youth department meeting first, and then the missionaries will meet second in Indianapolis, Indiana. There'll probably be 10,000-15,000 people there, and they will talk about the mission work associated with the church. So I think about my childhood, I think about my grandparents, my parents, I think about the trustee work that I've done in the AME Church, as my mother did as a trustee, as my brother has done as a trustee, as my father did as a trustee. And it's all intertwined in this church that are deeply embedded in my roots. We have a family reunion. The Gaines side of the family has a family reunion. It's a lot of fun. We have it every other year. We had it in the Philadelphia area last year. We will go back to our ancestral home in Columbus, Georgia, next year, next July, to have yet another family reunion. So I thought it would be fun to play two clips about our family reunions because, again, they're embedded in the AME Church. Teresa Johnson will be the first person you'll hear, and she'll talk about how we started and why it was started. And she and Keith Williams, who is her nephew, my cousin, they are both my cousins, both belong to another AME Church in Detroit, St. Stephen's AME Church in Detroit, Michigan. So, again, this AME connectional roots and connections that we have are quite wide and deep in our family as they are in many other families. So this is just a short clip talking about our family reunion from Teresa Johnson. Well, we're talking to the general of this entire experience. Tell us who you are and where you're from.
My name is Teresa Johnson. I'm from Detroit, Michigan. My mother was Annie Will Gaines Wallace. I came into the reunion when it started, which was in 1986. Peaches McKeever and I thought it was time for the Gaines family to get itself together and stop sitting and talking and getting up and doing something. So the year of 1986, we planned the reunion and we went to Columbus, Georgia, which is the home base for the Gaines family as far as I know. Now, I know we go to different areas and long time ago and all that, but as far as I know, my mother used to talk about family a lot, and I just picked it up. My only regret with it all is that we didn't start sooner, because there's a lot of history that has been just plain lost in the shuffle. I advise any family, at whatever age you are, start it, do it, and follow through. You'll be surprised at what you can learn about your family. And they teach you and you teach them. But you must start with our young and make them understand what family is all about. We as blacks are losing our history because we are not following through on what it is that we should do. And we always blame everybody else, but it's us. It has nothing to do with anybody else. If you don't do it, it will not be done. So just get up and do what you can do.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And that's Teresa Johnson. She is such a go-getter. She is my shero, my cousin. She recently lost her husband. We are just so sorry about that. Her husband of more than 60 years, that's 6-0. They are quite a team. But she loves family. And when I look at the Gaines family, when I look at the Gaines family, I have to look at Teresa Johnson. She's just really a warrior woman when it comes to the importance of family. Now, what I want to do now is to play another video clip from Keith Williams. That's another cousin of mine, Teresa's nephew. And we will now hear a little bit more about the family reunion process.
One. Hello, Keith Williams here. How are you? I am the chairman of the Gaines Family Reunion. As many of you may know, we have been in a transition period. We have transitioned from Teresa Johnson, also of Detroit. Oh, I didn't tell you that, the Big D. That's where I'm from. That we are starting that transition into our next generation. You see the phrase on our shirts, a link to our past, a bridge to our future. We've got to keep going. We want everybody to know who and what the Gaines family is all about. Carol has asked me to just say a couple of words to you about where I am from, who I am, and what we are doing. Again, Keith from Detroit. Transitioning, Teresa, she's still in charge. I'm learning. Ben Carlton is working with me as the next generation for the leadership role in terms of I don't know what the official title is. Somebody has called it president. Somebody else called it governor. I don't care. As long as we continue to get together every 2 years and meet as a family. Now, the importance of what it means to me. What it means to me is that every 2 years I kind of get to, and I've said this before, recharge my battery. I get to recharge my personal battery so that as I go out and I interact with the rest of the world, I know who I am and whose I am, not just the Lord's. That's first and foremost. We all know that. But I know I'm a part of the Gaines family, which has such a rich heritage and tradition. And so I get to help transition that to the next group of people that's coming along behind us. Also included in that is our next generation. Angela has done a wonderful job of putting together the reunion for here in Philadelphia this year. She's helping us. She's helping to show the next generation what leadership is all about. So I am just proud and pleased to be able to send this message out to everybody that we are having a wonderful time here. This is the Gaines family. We are strong. We will continue to get stronger because each if you go out and do a little history search on us, you'll find that there are so many people that have influenced not just us, but the entire country that we live in. All right? Thank you for the opportunity.
So we thank Keith Williams for that, and he talked a lot about lineage and passing the torch from one generation to the next. Teresa has done that with him. He's doing it with Ben Carlton, and it's certainly being done within the body of our church as well. I mentioned that I was an officer in my church at Bethel AME Church in Boston for probably 16, 17 years. I recently stepped down as a trustee. It was time to step down and allow other people to function in that capacity. But I also did it with a lot of excitement because at my daughter's church, I have two daughters. One daughter is a pretty active member at my church, Bethel AME. She's a behind-the-scenes person, so she works behind the scenes quite a bit. Then my other daughter, that's Michelle. Then Lorna is a member at Bethel AME Church in Bloomfield, Connecticut. We have a lot of Bethels in the AME structure. There are lots of churches named Bethel. She was recently reappointed as a steward at her church, and her husband, my son-in-law, Jerome, was reelected as a trustee at their church. So they're now getting as involved in the AME church process as I have been all my life. And so the saga sort of continues. So you see family members, generation after generation, who become very, very active in this church, whether it is a church in my particular city in Boston or whether it's in Connecticut or elsewhere. So the AME Church, being a connectional church, functions almost like a franchise, where the franchise owner is the main church itself. Franchises meaning churches that are started and built in different cities, in different countries. So we have churches in many parts of the United States, in parts of South America, in parts of Africa, in parts of Europe, and now parts of India as well. So these new churches are oftentimes populated by people who are family members or cousins or whatever, or in the case of some people who were raised in the AME church and they have gone off and either not attended church or they've attended another denomination and they come back to the AME church. I know that that's being done as well. But I wanted to read to you again just to give you a sense, and again, this is all at my website. You can go there and find out more information, but my grandfather, James Arminius Charleston, built the present site of St. Paul AME Church and paid for it before dying in the pulpit in June of 1961. Reverend Charleston's mother, Sarah Gaines Charleston, was the wife of an AME minister and was the niece of Bishop Wesley John Gaines, who I've just shared with you. Bishop Gaines was also one of the founders of Morris Brown College, and that's where my grandmother went to school. And he also wrote 2 to 3 books before his death. Reverend Charleston's brother, Dr. Samuel P. Charleston, was a celebrated principal of the segregated Carver High School in Columbus, Georgia, and a lifelong member of the AME Church. They also had sisters, and they were all part of the AME Church as well. When he died at the age of 95 in 1999, the city of Columbus designated him as one of the top 100 citizens of the 20th century. So we're going to have our reunion back in Columbus, Georgia, and that, again, is the base of our family and where our family, the Gaines family, started. And Bishop Wesley John Gaines, his nephew, was Bishop Abraham Lincoln Gaines. Now, this is where it connects with the modern-day history, particularly in the Baltimore area. The Gaines family in Baltimore were closely linked to Thurgood Marshall's family. Thurgood Marshall, if you don't know, was the first black Supreme Court justice of the United States. And Bishop Vashti Murphy McKenzie's family. She is the first elected woman bishop in the AME Church, frequently on television. And again, you can Google both of those names and find out more about it. My cousin was Josephine Gaines, lived in Baltimore. She just died last year at the age of 86. And she was the last living grandchild of Bishop Abraham Lincoln Gaines. So very closely connected. And we have an extensive family tree that has been meticulously researched by my cousin, Clarence Gaines, in Chicago. He's done a lot of history, an awful lot of history on our family. So we have a family tree that goes from floor to ceiling with all the members of our family that represent the Gaines family. And again, it is all tied with the AME Church. Another ancestor, Reverend William Gaines, who I talked about at the early part of the show, was part of the ministerial delegation during the important meeting with Major General William Sherman in Savannah, Georgia, in January of 1865. And again, you can get that link by going to my blog at tellcarol.com. So, AME history is part of American history. That's the first important component. Number two is that with the AME Church, you're talking about generations of families that are just essential to the growth and development of this church. My family is just one of many, many families that are very important parts of the AME tree, should I say. And hopefully this will give you some inspiration to do your own search to see what roots you have in your particular part of the country, or if you're outside of the country, if there are any roots at all that really matter when it comes to the structure and the nature of your particular nation. It's been a lot of fun doing this kind of research and doing this show. We'll do many more like this in the future, and we hope that you will have a wonderful week. And remember that empowerment begins when you believe in yourself. This is Carol Copeland Thomas. We'll see you next week. Take care.